Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. Welcome back. When LeBron James moved to the Lakers, there was a lot of speculation as to why. A new book suggests it might have been closer to the entertainment business, among other things. You see, LeBron has plans, but LeBron has always had plans. LeBron James has 3 championships under his belt, 4 MVP awards, 2 Olympic gold medals, yet he wants more. He wants an empire, actually. In an interview, LeBron recalled a coach saying, "Use basketball as a vehicle to get where you want to go." And LeBron remembered that advice, and he added, "Now that I look back on it, it was like, wow, you know, I didn't let the game of basketball use me, I used it." Journalist and ESPN contributor Brian Windhorst has written a new book called LeBron, Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete. He has been covering LeBron James longer than anybody else. Seriously. Brian started writing about LeBron when he was a shy freshman in high school in Ohio. Brian's in studio to tell us more. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, thank you. He was indeed shy as a 14-year-old, as many 14-year-olds are, I must say.
But he was a player on the court.
Absolutely. Yes, he was one of the rare kids that you see who had big feet and, you know, had not grown yet, but yet was not awkward.
Oh, interesting.
While portending that he may have a future in athletics.
So explain to folks why you were able to cover LeBron James at 14.
Well, he and I went to the same high school. We're a few years apart, and my mother was a teacher at the high school for 40 years. And so when I was in college and I was, you know, writing for the local paper, the team when I was there was terrible. My senior year of high school, they were 3-17. And I had heard through my mother that they had this really good young freshman. And so I went to see him play, and he turned out to be one of the best high school players in the history of the game. And so I must say that it is surreal that I walk around various countries or various cities in this country, and I see my high school jersey, because Nike sells his high school jersey, and I see my high school jersey in airports, at arenas, and that is totally surreal. So I had the opportunity to meet him when he was 14, just because I happened to find out about him first because of people that I knew there, including my mother.
So when you first saw him play, what was it about his game that you knew was just that much different?
So he's very unselfish, which is unusual for young, highly skilled players, because you want them to score the ball. And primarily this is because, as a young man, he was the only child and his mother had some difficulties. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have any family. His grandmother, who was his main, you know, connection to his family, passed away when he was very young. And he had this friend group that was around basketball. And really, I believe, because he learned to play basketball with friends and he was a lonely boy, he didn't want to hog the ball, because he needed those friends of his when they left the court. And so he learned to play the game to keep his friends engaged and happy. And it was a basis for today. Honestly, that's how he learned the game, about one of the reasons why. Yes, he is one of the great scorers in the history of the game. He's also one of the best passers. And I think that really came from that when he was a young boy.
What lessons did he learn as a young man that you think we still see today in terms of what it is he wants to accomplish off the court? Or what important things happened to him as a young man that are imprinted on him?
Right. So I think one of the most important things that was that he learned that what he did when he stepped off of the court had so much importance. So everybody is aware that what you do in that rectangle is what matters, and that's what you're getting your paycheck for. But when he would step off the court, even when he was 17, 18 years old, he recognized that people wanted things from him. And some of this he saw by watching Michael Jordan. That was his hero growing up. And yes, when the games on Sunday afternoon went to commercials, he saw Michael Jordan selling Nikes. He saw him, you know, selling hot dogs, selling underwear. But also when he was even a teenager, he saw the demand that people had for his time. And it didn't just click one day, but over the period of years, he understood that that demand could be channeled. It could be channeled into money. It could be channeled into influence. And it could be channeled into charity. And he's really focused a lot of his time off of that court into maximizing those streams.
When did the first trucks of money pull up and say, "We can dump this on your front lawn, LeBron"?
Right. Well, he was obviously one of the most famous basketball. His timing was amazing. Not only was he great, his timing was amazing. He came at a time when high school players could go directly to the NBA. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been for the last decade plus. So there was immense interest in high school players, number one. Number two, he came at a time right after Michael Jordan left the NBA. So there was a void and a demand for there to be the next big name. Number three, he came at a time where the big shoe companies, Adidas, Nike, and Reebok, all were interested in finding a face of their franchise, or a new face of their franchise.
And one that could be long-term,
too. For sure, for sure. And you're always gambling to a certain extent, but that cocktail enabled him to drive one of the most incredible endorsement contracts in the history of professional sports, quite frankly. When he was 18 years old, all three shoe companies were bidding at tens of millions of dollars. Even now, 16 years later, it stands as one of the most incredible contracts, even with inflation. He basically had $100 million offers from multiple companies, which is unheard of mm-hmm. for someone who'd never played a game. He could have been a complete bust. But it really came down to he had a humongous offer from Reebok in excess of $100 million, and he had an offer from Nike that was less than $90 million. Still very good money, a record contract from Nike, but he had to decide between taking the Nike money or taking Reebok, which was $30+ million difference. And he was just 18 years old. They knew he was going to have money, but he didn't have money yet. And when Reebok, when Reebok made the pitch to him, they pulled out. And when I say he was still in high school, I don't just mean in the informal sense. He went to high school, left the school, went to the airport, got on a private jet that Reebok had sent for him, flew to Boston, where Reebok's headquarters were at the time, and negotiated, and they pulled out a $10 million cashier's check with his name on it and handed it to him and said, if you sign right now and leave Nike, leave Adidas, leave everything else, you can take this check back with you on the plane tonight. He was going to homeroom the next day, and he could have, on his way to homeroom, stopped by the bank, put that check in the bank, and had $10 million. And he said no, and he ultimately said no to Reebok. And I asked him why, and he said, because you can't think of the first check, you have to think of all of the checks. And that's reasonable for somebody who's in their 30s, who's now worth hundreds of millions, to say. Mm-hmm. For an 18-year-old whose mother was still in Section 8 housing, to have that perspective. And he was getting advice from an agent, but nonetheless, he had to make that choice. And that has set the tone for his entire career. He has turned down many things in his career that could have made him money. He's really tried to be selective, and that deal certainly paid off.
What do you think is at the base? What is the basis for his selection? You know, if you take that big check from Reebok, it's instant satisfaction, right? What is at the base of him being willing to play the long game?
He had an innate ability to have perspective that I was blown away by. When I was 25 when he was doing this, he was 18. I was blown away by his perspective then. As I've gotten older and now I'm in my 40s and he's in his mid-30s, I have only grown to appreciate it more. It's just a talent that he had. You know, he had perspective to realize that there was more than just the next game, which I think, you know, in high school, that's kind of the way I thought. I didn't think 5 years in advance or 15 years in advance. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why he's so successful as a basketball player and as a businessman, because not only was he blessed with a 6'8" body that could carry a lot of weight. Some people are born with great size, but they have bad feet, they have bad knees. He was blessed with an incredible level of intelligence. And
maturity, it sounds like.
Yes. And he decided early in his life, when he was 16 or 17, that he was going to make the most of this. And not just a passing statement. He was going to work out very, very hard. He was going to be very disciplined in his diet. And he was going to work off the court. He really wanted to maximize the most of the gifts that he'd been given. And again, that's not something unusual for somebody later in life to mm-hmm. understand. But for somebody of that age, and he's, for the most part, followed through on it.
My guest is Brian Windhorst. The name of his book is LeBron, Inc. So in the book you talk about, and I think a lot of people know, that he has this group of friends who became his managers. He quit an agent and went with a bunch of guys he'd known for a long time who didn't really have a lot of experience, maybe not any experience. Why would, at such an early age, about 5 years in, it's like 24?
Two years in. 20.
He decides, yeah, I'm going to go with my boys. And this is how we're going to roll.
It was probably a short-term mistake, actually, looking back, because their first few years were not the most exemplary.
No.
And the agent that he had had gotten him over $100 million in endorsements. I mean, he had done it with his skill, but the agent had done a good job. It wasn't like he was misadvised. I honestly think that one of the things that was important to LeBron was to help young African-Americans. And that's been a focus of his to this day. Most of his charity is dedicated to children in difficult circumstances, which he was. But I also think he honestly believed, I have a couple of friends who I believe in and I trust. They're African American and they're not going to get the opportunity elsewise, so I'm going to give them the opportunity. And I do think that their inexperienced show, they made some mistakes. You know, the most famous one, I think, is the decision.
The bad decision?
When he when he announced his intention to go play for the Miami Heat. That was a completely hubris-filled moment that I think that was pretty regrettable, in all honesty. But their concept, which was to capture value, take something that normally people gave away for free, which is an announcement. People put it out in a press release. People put it out in a tweet. He was like, I'm going to capture that value. So their idea was right. Their execution was off. And if you go back and look at this summer, there was actually a decision this last summer. They didn't call it the decision, but when he signed with the Los Angeles Lakers, he did not have a press conference. He didn't do any media appearances. He waited until the opening of the school year so he could show off his I Promise School in Ohio, which is aimed at taking at-risk kids that he supports and turning their lives around. And he took advantage of the intense media to showcase that. And that was the decision part two. Him, by the way, the decision part one raised several million for charity. Nobody remembers that.
They just remember how it was just kind of cheesy and bad and
right.
off-putting.
So that shows their maturation and their learning, the way they handled two pretty big announcements.
What is it that he wants? What does he want in terms of status, in terms of influence, once basketball is done as him as a player anyway?
I asked him once, what do you want? And he said, I want it all. So what is what I want it all means? He wants to be a billionaire. He's well on his way. He wants to have ownership in the NBA, not just to be a contractor, essentially, but he wants to be one of the 30 people who own part of the league, which is going to take a lot of money. It's going to take more than $1 billion when it's all said and done, probably. He wants to have not just charity. He doesn't want to have a place to write a check. He wants to have generational societal change. So what does that mean? That means when he was in fourth grade, he missed 80 days of school and almost was lost to the streets. His mother was having difficulty. He was saved by a family that took him in, basically gave him habits that turned his life around. He wants to duplicate that. So now he's duplicating it for several hundred children who were at risk in his hometown. But he wants to set it up in such a way. And by the way, he's committed to paying for their schooling all the way through college. But he wants to have that happen on a scale that's massive. He wants other people, not just him and his organization, but other people to duplicate it so that other children who are at risk have their entire circumstances changed. And then in theory, at least, that cities that have this problem, like Akron, Ohio, where he's from, and many cities, become better places. Will he get there? Will he achieve societal change? I don't know, but he's working on it. And he also recognizes that he wants to work on it after he's done playing basketball. So that's why a lot of what he's focusing on right now isn't on the court. And in all honesty, his decision to go play for the Los Angeles Lakers this last summer was not just a basketball decision, for which people can criticize him for, but his last decision, which was to go to back to Cleveland, was also based more than just in basketball. That was based in family. So he's got high aspirations, but his achievement rate throughout the last 15, 20 years has been pretty good.
What seems to be his Achilles heel? What could get in his way of all this?
I think two things. One, his age. You know, his idea that he's going to resurrect the Lakers, age 33, now 34. It's a big ask because, as they say, you know, father time is undefeated. The other thing, I think, is just a little bit of hubris. You know, they've been guilty of that various times. I think all in all, he's managed his success pretty well, but I think anybody would think that their success maybe entitles them to things to happen, maybe won't be as easy as they think. I think this Lakers season is hubris, as I think the decision was hubris. I think fighting that is going to be one of the challenging things, because when he's not playing basketball anymore, his influence will diminish.
Right.
It's the nature of society, quite frankly. So I would say he is humble most of the time, but there are times when it catches him, and it's caught him a few times in his career.
And he's trying to resurrect Space Jam, too. He's having a hard time getting people to star in this movie.
Well, I'm sure he'll have no problem stocking the movie, but there's a couple of people who he's reached out to have said, you know what, I appreciate it, but I'm going to pass. And frankly, LeBron is going to be the star of the movie. I mean, I haven't seen the script, but in Space Jam 1, which was Michael Jordan's movie back in the 90s, Michael Jordan is the hero and the other guys get beaten or like literally left in a pile with stars going over their head. I'm not sure everybody's ready to sign up for that. So, yeah, not everybody wants to do what you want them to do. And so some of the, at least one of the really, really big names has said, hey, I appreciate it, but no thank you. And that's why it's hard to get star players to the Lakers too. Not all of them want to just do what you say.
Who's the next LeBron?
I think he's in the league right now. His name's Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak. Who may be taking over your television screen over the next 2 months.
Took over my kid's wardrobe, I can tell you that much. Brian Windhorst, the name of the book is The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete, LeBron, Inc. Brian, thank you for coming
thank
in
you
and sharing your
me.
Reporting.
I
really
it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to all of it on WNYC. Stick around. We got another hour. Stay with us.